Speaks in the name of one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Please be seated. Today is St. Paul and St. Peter's feast day. We're going to focus for a little bit on St. Paul, since we are, after all, named after him. St. Paul, as you are, I'm sure, are aware, authored the majority of the books in the New Testament. The majority of what we know about life after Jesus comes from Paul. And Paul, if you remember, first makes his appearance in the book of Acts, which directly follows the Gospels. In the book of Acts, we meet this young man named Saul, whose name will later be changed to Paul. We meet Saul at the stoning of Stephen. And at the stoning of Stephen, who is the first martyr of the church, Stephen was the first person to be arrested, persecuted, and put to death for his faith in Christ. You meet a young man named Saul, who at the stoning of Stephen is holding the coats of the men who are stoning Stephen. And then we see Saul again on the road to Damascus, where a bright, blinding light comes down and he loses his ability to see. And in that bright, blinding light, Saul is converted to Paul. And he begins to become a follower of Christ, and he writes letters to the early Christian communities about the ways in which the church should function, things that are happening, to problem solve with him. And you'll often hear Paul say in his letters things like, "Why should I be the one to tell you how to be a follower of Christ when I persecuted Christ?" And yet Paul makes this great redemption arc for his entire life, and he becomes one of the main founding people of our church. He's also paired for his saint day with Peter. And we have our reading from the gospel today to be this famous reading from Peter. And you guys know how much I love Peter. So at this point in our gospel readings, what has happened is Jesus has lived out his ministry. He has been crucified. Peter has denied him three times. Jesus has resurrected, and now we're in the 50 days after Jesus's resurrection, where he's appearing to his disciples. And so he's appeared to his disciples on a boat, and they're on a shore, and they all come ashore, and they eat the fish together. That's why it says after they had finished breakfast, they're eating. But Jesus has already been dead and crucified. Peter has already denied Jesus three times. That's an important part. So in our gospel reading today, you hear the asking of Jesus to Peter three times, "Do you love me?" Peter denied Jesus three times. He's then asked three times, "Do you love me?" And there are some readings in the Bible that are just better in the original Greek or Hebrew, and this is one of those. Like, for instance, the creation story is better read in Hebrew because you get these really interesting words that are only available in the creation story. They don't appear anywhere else in the Hebrew language. They don't appear later in the Old Testament. They don't appear in spoken word. They only appear in the creation story. And then here, in this original Greek, this particular reading is far better than it has ever been translated to. And essentially what happens in this reading is Simon is asked three separate times, Jesus asks Simon Peter three separate times, "Do you love me?" And the word love has three different Greek words attached to it. It's not the same love. So the very first time Jesus asks him and he says, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" The word love here is philo, the Greek word for friendship. "Do you have a friendship type of love for me?" And Peter says, "Yes, Lord, I do." And then he says again to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And the word here for love is eros. "Do you have an intimate, passionate type of love for me?" And Simon says, "Yes, Lord, you know that I do." And he says to him a third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And this time, love is translated as agape, the Greek word for agape. And if you're thinking, "I've heard that word before, we have an agape meal in Holy Week," that's true. It's the one kind of word from Greek here that we've really assimilated into our culture. But to define agape in Greek, what it is a self-sacrificial love. "Do you have a self-sacrificial love for me to which you will lay down your life for me?" Jesus had an agape type love for us. Jesus was self-sacrificing in his love for humanity. And he asks Peter, "Do you have an agape type of love for me?" And he says, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I do." you know everything. You know that I have denied you three times. You know the kind of death that I will die. For the record, Peter will be crucified. And when he is crucified, he demands to be crucified hanging upside down because he said he is not worthy to be crucified in the same manner as Jesus. Peter has a self-sacrificial love for Jesus. And it is from this reading that we are told that Jesus lays Peter as the cornerstone of his church. Peter becomes the foundation upon which Jesus will build his church. What does that mean? So in the Catholic and Episcopal traditions, what that means is that we believe in what's called apostolic succession, which means we can trace any ordination from a Roman Catholic or Episcopal clergy person all the way back to the laying on of hands that Jesus laid his hands on Peter and said, "You are the rock on which I lay my church upon." And we can trace the ordinations back to people. So we trace Jesus laid his hand on Peter, Peter laid his hand on somebody else laid their hand on, and all the way, thousands of years later, you can trace it back to my bishop, Bishop O'Neill, laid his hands on me, who has laid his hands on, all the way back to Jesus laying his hands. We believe in apostolic succession. We believe that our church is founded in this moment of being Peter and Jesus laying his foundation. But the other part that I really love about Peter is the denial of Christ. And I want to take just a moment to look in that with three different characters. Peter and Paul, Peter who denies Jesus, Paul who is at the stoning of Stephen and persecutes Christians, and Judas who betrays Jesus. At just that answer of Peter denies Christ, Paul persecutes Christ, Judas betrays Christ. All three of them start out as very sinful moments in their life. They all start out doing something that they shouldn't have done. So what makes Peter and Paul different than Judas? And the main thing that makes them different is what happens after they sin. Their sin is not what makes them separated here. What happens after they sin is Peter returns to his community. He's on the beach when Jesus comes. He is with the disciples. Paul, after he persecutes Christ, returns to the community. He seeks forgiveness. He seeks redemption and forgiveness from his sins, and he works in that community. After Judas betrays Christ, he goes into hiding to not be seen again until he hangs himself. Judas does not return to the community. Had Judas returned to his community and sought forgiveness among people whom he loved and who loved him, we would see a very different story here. But so what does that mean for us today? Today, on our feast day, where we are celebrating St. Paul's, we are going to install a historical certificate, which is the founding of the consecration of our building in 1899. Laura's nodding her head. As we have the historical certificate here, and we're going to install it later. Essentially, what this means for us, what these readings mean for us today, is that community is vitally important. It is vitally important for our lives. And we are not required to get it right most of the time, certainly not all of the time. And when we don't get it right, we can get it wrong in really big ways. But what we do is we return to our community and get back to the work that God has called us to do. Our building was consecrated in 1899, which is the historical certificate that we're going to put up today. But the church was originally founded, well, it's been 287 years, I'm not good at math, something, 1735. So our church was originally founded in 1735. We have been in existence for 287 years. For 287 years, St. Paul's Episcopal Church in Hopkinton has existed. And we have been a community for people of believers for all of that time, for nearly 300 years. For 300 years, we have done work that God has entrusted us to do, and we continue to do the work that God has entrusted us to do. And that in itself is worth celebrating. But the other part of this that is true is that we go behind the saints. Our names matter. The reason that you are called St. Paul's matters. St. Paul's legacy matters to us. It matters that St. Paul started off as Saul, who made a terrible decision and mistake and sinned, and then becomes the person upon which we get to know Jesus by in the most intimate fashion. May the same be true for us. May anyone who comes through those doors for hopefully the next 300 years find a community of believers who will love them where they are and help them to understand God in a way that we understand God, a God full of love and compassion and caring. Amen.